Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is your official spoiler warning. If you have not seen Ice Age Continental Drift, and let's be honest,
you have seen it.
It's
not Continental Drift.
It's Collision Course.
This is Collision Course.
Oh, lucky.
We've already done Continental Drift.
Even though I wouldn't be able to tell you what the difference is.
Someone would be like, oh, I'm good. Someone would have been like, oh, I'm good. And then they would have been like, wait a sec. Oh, my God, you're ruining Collision Course for me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly, because Collision Course is the one. No, sorry. Continental Drift is the one about pirates, ice pirates. And Collision Course is the one about ice space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why the Weasel was in this one.
Yeah.
Because he was the ice pirate.
Of the last one.
Yeah.
Was he the ice pirate of the last one? Or he was like a friend in the ice pirate. I honestly couldn't recall any details from the ice one.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is your official spoiler warning. Anyway, enjoy the podcast.
Peace. I hate the word.
This movie sucked.
Okay. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week myself and my friend Zach Ruane get together and chat about all things John Leguizamo, everything he's been in. That includes film, television, games, and every single fucking Ice Age film. Because he is the voice of Sid the Sloth. Isn't that exciting? And Gen Zers are like, what? The guy from Encanto? We already knew that, cunt. My name's Mish. You might know me.
She's very angry.
She's a loose unit today.
Listener, Mish is pissed at you. She's fucking furious at you. You're not picking this up, listener?
You might know me from being really fucking mad at all of you guys. I'm joined as always by my friend and colleague. Colleague?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is... No, it's not work.
It's a friend.
Really. We'd be making more money and working harder for listeners if this was work.
Yeah.
My friend.
Fellow humorist.
Zach Ruane, who you might know from?
Just being a general humorist about town with my stories and
witticisms.
I've just taken up a job writing the bylines for the humorous New Yorker cartoons.
Mm.
Hey. And
that's
this
not
week,
real. You said that you reacted like that was a real job.
I couldn't tell.
Because I'm
I can
humorist.
Never tell with you.
Mm. Yeah, you wacky. Yeah. Now, you've probably seen this. Hello, listeners. You've probably seen that we're doing an Ice Age, which of course means one cannot simply discuss an Ice Age film without inviting comedian, actor, writer, improviser, a producer? Have you produced?
Yeah, producer.
Our friend and lover of all things the Ice Age franchise, Ben Russell.
Thank you for being here.
We kind of pulled it. We pulled a shifty little move on you, didn't we? Because I don't think we asked you to do all the Ice Ages on our podcast. I think we just asked you to do the first one.
No, and then you just assumed.
We always knew. We played you like a fool.
But no, in fairness, I had forgotten what the Ice Age films were like when we first started this pod. Mm-hmm. And I think you were like in the first 10 episodes of the podcast.
Mm.
And we watched the first one, like, that was a bit shit, but surely it'll get better. And what fun it will be to have Ben on every episode. And little did we realize that it just gets worse.
Yeah. Did you really think the cynical cash grab sequels of Ice Age would get better?
Well, there are some cynical cash grab films that are good.
Mm.
And I wasn't...
That's true.
Or entertaining, at least.
Which ones?
Oh, this is good.
Godfather Part 2.
That's not a cynical cash grab.
It was.
Really? Back to the Future 3.
Back to the Future 3? Yeah.
Back to the Future 3 is actually very entertaining.
I think it's the weakest of all the Back to the Futures.
We're not discussed. That's not the discussion, though. It's whether or not...
It's a good cash grab.
Yeah.
But is that a cynical cash grab of a film?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Any?
They were made back to back.
Yeah, back to back. Back to back can be a good thing. Mm. It can also be a rough thing. I think The Matrix suffered by a back to back production.
Mm. The Matrix. Wait, were all three Back to the Futures done back to back?
No, just the second and the third. Same with Matrix.
Same with Mission Impossible, New Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And Mission Impossible, New Boys, too.
There's too many titles new on that film. Yeah,
yeah. Mission Impossible, the New Boys.
They're doing the part one in the promotion. And I'm all for a part one reveal in the credits.
Mm. Mm.
Tell us it's a part one at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Everyone's doing a part one now. Fast and Furious, last one was a part one. It was to be continued.
Yeah, it was.
Spider-Man apparently is a to be continued. Everyone's doing a be continued now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Why don't
we just make one big film? You know what I mean? Like one 10-hour film.
Well, we mentioned this in the fucking last podcast we did with Michelle Brazier. Was saying how like the fatal. We're talking about Fatal Attraction and how the original movie from the 80s is iconic, and then they've turned it into like an 8-part web series. Not web series, 8-part series on Stan.
Yeah,
and
I've seen it on the Stan.
Oh, yeah, same. And I watch it. And
I haven't seen it, but I've seen it, the picture.
I watched it with my partner.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things you watch. It's like, yeah, it's entertaining. Would have been a great movie.
Mm.
But then they were like, nah, let's stretch this the fuck out.
There really is, I think, when you make a movie, when you make a TV show length thing, when it's a contained story and it's over that many episodes, the question has to be like, why is it longer?
Mm.
Like you need to ask why at some point. You need to say why is this longer than the original?
Yeah.
And if it's just to, if there's no answer, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. But then there's also the whole issue of like you take like the Harry Potter movies, right? And how that every book was a movie.
Yeah.
But then they were like, let's just. It's going to end soon. Like, we know the series is over. Let's just take the last book and split it into two.
That was cynical.
Was it necessary?
Oh, I think.
No.
I don't think it was because they dedicated 10 minutes to dancing in a tent to Nick Cave.
Yeah.
And that's not in the book.
I feel like I hate Harry Potter.
Do you?
I always have, yeah. Even before it was cool. Can I just say?
Yeah.
I hate Harry Potter.
That's fair.
I think it sucks.
Hey, Ben, I've never thought to ask, and if we have already discussed this, I'm sorry, I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
What's a genre of a film that you really enjoy, that you always find yourself, like, gravitating towards?
I like all, like, I enjoy all genres.
Yeah?
But I love science fiction.
Do you know about Mish? Hates it. Reckon she hates it.
Yeah? But I also love, like, I love a mindless action. Like, one of my favorite films, just pure on enjoyability to watch and having a good time while watching it. It's probably like Con Air.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the ultimate sort of mindless.
Do you love a Steven Seagal moment?
Not really. Oh, I'm not a big Steven Seagal. I sort of went through an early Steven Seagal phase with his with Under Siege.
Under Siege.
Which is kind of like these.
I started watching Under Siege the other day.
It's a great finished film.
It. Yeah, it's good, but it's funny that he's the chef.
Yeah.
Do you like early 90s Bruce Willis films?
Yeah. I love all that shit.
The Die Hards and the... That kind of shit, yeah.
Do you know what I love about...
But I love all kinds.
A good action film is that when the story is told through the action. Too many movies now, like, the story stops for the action. Like, you could cut the action sequence and nothing is lost.
Yeah, I think that's, like, J.J. Abrams' sort of movement has brought about the lots of things, then lots of exposition, then lots of things.
Or exposition inside the action sometimes, like a little chat inside it. And it's like... I love, that's what I really had time for The Last Avatar, and a lot of people didn't. And the reason I did, every criticism I agree with, but what I loved about it was that, like, it has coherent action and a third act, and, like, the story is told through action. I just think there's a lot going for it in that respect.
Yeah, it's just the base level of...
The blue people living on, and the beaches look exactly the same as our beaches. Mm. Yeah, I agree. Why are you making a beach on a computer when you could film on a beach that looks the same? I get it. Why is the sand the same? You could just build that for cheaper. Yeah.
I never saw the second Avatar.
Yeah.
I saw the first one time.
Oh, and you simply must see the second Avatar.
And on
it's
video
the same
tape,
film.
On your normal, on your television.
Avatar 2 is the same.
Do you want to know a fun fact about Avatar?
Well, sure.
But it's not about Avatar. It's about the person who stars in Avatar, Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Do you know that she has been in the top three grossing films of all time?
Yeah, and they've all been like science fiction.
Are they science fiction? Is Avatar science fiction?
Avatar is science fiction.
Oh, like
is Guardians of the Galaxy? That's science fiction.
Yes, that's big time science fiction.
And then the other one.
I would argue that Avengers
center stage
is science fiction.
Yeah, Mish.
Star Trek.
Anything.
She was in Star Trek.
Okay. She was in Star Trek,
which is science
fiction. But she was also in center stage.
She was also in center stage.
And I feel like we could discuss center stage.
We could.
How good would a center stage?
Any fucking dumb bitch.
Center stage is good.
Any dumb bitch can discuss center stage.
Any fucking dumb bitch could do that, Mish.
But not many can feel center stage.
I reckon a Vanilla Sky style twist at the end of center stage that it's all like a Matrix,
or that she's actually in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh yeah,
like that kind of like a Shutter Island style. She killed them all.
How fucked up is the? Have you seen the that Zack Snyder one set in the mental hospital? It's set in the mental hospital.
Yeah, I've not seen it. And Atomic Blonde.
No, it's got
Punch.
Yes,
Punch.
Sucker Punch.
Man, that movie is like fucking wild.
Cooked. That is one of the most cooked films I have ever seen in my life.
It's literally like he had some ideas and then he made the ideas and then he made some movie around it.
Yeah.
like she goes to an old school mental institution, but then to escape.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a twist or if what, to escape, she imagines it as like a cabaret burlesque venue that has a very similar aesthetic and is as oppressive and full on as the institution. Like there's no escape in it. And then to escape from that, she goes into these like heightened action sequences.
Which some of them are really interesting to watch. Like they're very entertaining, but fuck, that movie is so cooked.
It's just
I remember watching that when I was younger and being like, that was so full on. I never want to watch that again. But I've never forgotten it.
Mm-hmm. You know, isn't that what great art should do?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel that way about Buried as well. Remember that movie?
No, I never saw Buried.
I feel that way about berries.
Berries?
Yeah.
How to taste?
Yeah,
they're
like
good.
Strawberries. Raspberries.
Boysen?
Boysenberries.
I know boysenberry as a blueberry. Chalk top flavor, but not as a real berry.
Boysenberry and blueberry, same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Actually, the same
No, that's
thing?
Actually not true.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Is it?
Yep.
No, it's not.
It wouldn't be.
Wait, don't.
Be.
Why
it
are you looking true. At me like you're telling the truth?
It's true.
This is fucked, Zach. Don't listen
it's
to him.
True, dude.
This is bullshit.
Do you know
it's
what's funny?
Totally different berries.
It's true, dude. I'm telling you.
No, they're not. I'll
fine. Look it up.
Do you know where I'm at with it, Mish? I was gonna look it up, and then I realized it doesn't change my life in any.
Yeah.
In any circumstance.
No,
look it up.
No, this is really annoying because the way he said that then.
Look it up. I don't care. I'm not afraid of you.
This is why I'm mad.
Yeah,
because he said they're the same. And there was a fraction of a second where I went, what? He genuinely made me second guess what I know to be real.
I believe
that is a boysenberry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's more like a raspberry.
No, that's a boysenberry.
Yep. No, but it's not even close to a blueberry.
Not even close. Yep. And then he just kept saying, no, it's not, making me feel like a right dumb cunt.
But I've never had a boysenberry. I've only ever had the ice cream flavored boysenberry.
They were my favorite chocolate.
What's the difference between a boysenberry and a mulberry?
What's a mulberry?
I don't know. Are you changing the gulp?
I'm just asking questions and trying to have a sort of a, you know,
I would say a
boysenberry
and a blackberry.
I think that's important.
Very similar.
Because so many times we do, you know, who's right and who's wrong. We forget to have a discourse about what's actually happening, you know, that is what is a mulberry and a boysenberry and berries in general, but also that they're great and that the berries are to be celebrated.
I love a berry as much as
who doesn't love a berry?
But I think that we need to leave some of these questions to the berry experts.
Yeah, they aren't for us.
I want to just get into Ice Age talk.
Let's
is that something
it.
You'd be happy to do? But first, we're going to go to an ad break. Mm-hmm. Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. You're going to find out if Tommy's getting paid this week.
We'll stop for a moment. And then something may or may not be edited in.
But when we come back from the potential ad, which I'd like to think we've got one, but if there isn't, it's fine. When we come back, Ben is going to tell us his favourite Choc Top flavour. Don't tell us now.
Oh, that's great. And I'm going to tell you my favourite berry, as is Mish, as is Ben. It's quite a list of things.
Oh, my God, how exciting. Here's the ad.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Ben, favorite Choc Top flavor?
I mean, maybe like a cookies and cream or a salted car.
That's crazy. Yeah. Mine's boysenberry. I've already said that. My favorite berry, though, has got to be a raspberry.
Okay. I think mine's a raspberry.
Ben, yeah, what's your favorite berry?
Listen, I enjoy a fresh raspberry as well.
That's from great. Aren't you glad you stuck around through the ad break?
Yeah.
To know that.
All right, now we're going to talk about Ice Age Collision Course.
Yes.
All right. Ice Age Collision Course. Oh, no.
How embarrassing.
Oh, terrible. Ice Age Collision Course is the fifth and final, I believe, theatrically released film in the Ice Age franchise. In the film, Scrat the Rat chases his little acorn into a UFO and then creates the solar system and then sends an asteroid on a collision course to Earth. With this looming disaster, all the mammals will have to use all their muster and their insanely complex grasp of physics and astrology that humans would not completely rediscover until the middle of the 20th century. John Leguizamo plays one of the about 57 funny mammal characters that this series has acquired over the last four films. He's still the main funny mammal, but there's heaps now. There's more funny mammals in this film than there are funny robots in the last Star Wars film.
Mm.
And that's my blurb.
So funny.
If I can just put forth if we can put our tin cap hats on.
Yeah.
Tin cap hats?
Yep, tin cup.
Tin hat caps.
Tin foil caps.
Tin cup,
tin
the movie.
Foil cap
tin
hats.
Cup.
With Kevin Costner,
yeah,
and Renee
yeah,
Russo.
You've seen it.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear,
yes,
yeah, fucking great film.
A really good film. It was one of my dad's favorites, but he's dead.
What's it called?
Tin Cup.
Oh,
about golf.
Love story.
Oh,
golf.
Love story.
Baseball. Mm. Golf or baseball. Golf.
Do you know what
it's either one or the other with Kevin Costner.
100%.
I'll just plant this, and then we'll talk to your thing. Talking about love stories, I rewatched Ghost the other day.
Oh, yeah, love.
Whoopi Goldberg, one of my favourites.
That was why I watched it.
Big fan of the pod. Like, wait, no. The pod is a big fan of it. She's not a big fan of this pod.
No.
I want to make that very,
it could
very
be.
Clear.
Whoopi's fucking cool, man.
Ben and I were talking
fucking
about, Ben and I did a gig together
Whoopi's
in a venue.
Whoopi's just like us.
Whoopi
everyone.
Is cool.
She's,
Whoopi's cool. Man.
She's just a
she good, loves Star yeah. Trek like us.
She's just a chill person.
She was in Ghost like us.
Yeah. 100%.
Do you know, fun fact about Ghost, and then you can talk about Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact about Ghost, the role was originally offered to Crocodile Dundee.
Wow.
Paul Hogan was originally going to play the part that Demi Moore played. No, it was originally going to play Patrick Swayze's part.
Wow, what a
That's
terrible
funny.
Mistake that would have been.
Isn't that crazy?
Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan, that was going to be like him. And maybe he had it in him.
Hey, I love ya.
No, ditto is what he says.
Oh, I love ya.
Oh, me love, my darling.
I'm a ghost. You're a goose. I'm a ghost.
My name's Sam Wheat. It's Sam Wheat, say it.
You're my favourite scene of Ghost. I'm sorry, you had notes about
Ice Age.
No,
I do have notes. I've got too many notes because this movie pissed me off.
I told myself not to write notes.
I really want to, you've got 30 seconds. I want to know what your favourite scene in Ghost is. I really am.
My favourite scene in Ghost is when like that son of a bitch friend of his that's actually up to no good is trying to fuck Demi Moore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right? And Patrick Swayze is just like, Oh, what are you doing, you jerk? Stop it. Get off her. Patrick Swayze in this scene as he's like talking to him is just super duper, and I really want to recreate it in something.
Yeah, we can. Nice.
Being a ghost angry at people.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at it. I'll rewatch Ghost. Don't
Ghost is
fuck.
So good.
It's so good.
Whoopi Goldberg is phenomenal. I'll
rewatch Ghost like that.
Dude. Yeah, you would rewatch it. You pop up, pop
like
it on.
Like it's fucking nothing. Like we're,
check, I think I paid for it.
Like we're getting so up and having
that's Ghost. Silly. It's on. It's on.
Maybe I watched it on something.
It's on Stan, I think.
Yeah, I probably watched it on Stan.
I'd rather watch Ghost 1,000 times. Than watch another Ice Age.
Which is disappointing because you will need to come back and watch the other Ice Age.
I think this is the last Ice Age.
No, there's other Ice Ages.
Oh, there's little Ice Ages. There's
Baby Ice Ages.
And there's the Weasel. Mm. He has a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's about another. Short so we've film. Done 5 and I think there's 6 more to go.
6 little films.
And a computer game or 2.
Yeah, which Evan's offered the studio, the stupid old studios for us to play it sometime. So maybe we'll just do that. Maybe we'll do a little stream for them
that'd be
and
nice,
play.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Play it and then do a pod about it afterwards. That could be fun.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
That's fun.
Ben, you were going to make a point about this film.
I think this is this is a movie that was made, and because I kept on going, who is this made for, right? Mm. And this movie is specifically made for church bus trips.
Oh my God.
This film is made for church bus trips.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is your church group is going out to, I don't know, protest a drag event, and you're going to put this on.
Oh my God. That's so accurate.
This is what the Westboro Baptist Church puts on before they go.
Just chucks it on. Chucks it on. Googles, is it offensive? Oh, there's a bit of stuff about space, but there's nothing about evolution. We're good.
Yeah.
To me,
that's what it is.
This is the kind, even though it was made in 2016, it's the kind of movie that is in a DVD bin in 2002 for $3 and your dad just fucking grabs it to keep you entertained for the weekend. Just goes, this is a kid's film, one for the kids.
It's a part-time dad movie?
Yeah, it's a part-time dad film. And it's just one of the ones that sits in the cabinet along with the... But you've watched it once. You've watched it one time, but it's always there.
Do you know what this got me thinking about as I was watching it? Is there, because surely there is, and I think we've talked about this. Mm. We've talked about people that get horny for Ice Age. But my question is,
I asked if there was Ice Age porn.
Yeah.
And you both convinced me that, yes, there is. And turns out there is because we got sent some.
Of course there is. Great. Thank you for sending that.
Yeah.
If you can imagine it, someone's going to jerk off to it.
Yeah. But my question is, we've got jerk off to it, but is there, and I would love to meet them, Ice Age's number one fan? And more than that, is there a person that Ice Age is their favorite film series?
Series or this film particularly, Collision Course?
Okay, that's an even harder question. It's like the double Google whack.
Mm-hmm.
But like, is there someone who's like, Ice Age Collision Course is my favorite film? I don't care for the other ones.
There is, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I would love to meet that person.
It's possible that there's a person who has only watched a handful of films.
It'd be like one of them. I'm sure. I mean,
that's not what I'm talking about.
I want to.
Yeah, no, I know.
I
yeah, I know.
But I know.
Mitch,
don't say it. I can't be bothered telling Tom to edit it.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm saying don't say it.
But but I'm talking someone who
don't say it.
Love. They watched Ice Age at 12. When in 2002, and they kept loving it, and they were there opening night
for
every
totally
Ice Age, and they have they collect Ice Age stuff,
And there is, and they're very brave.
And first date, if they're not first date, they bring up Ice Age.
Yeah.
Okay, I've pulled up some Ice Age reviews. This is for Ice Age Collision Course, right? So not for the franchise. Because I think once we've watched all of them, we should also do a recap, like just a nice
the whole
little
series. I don't remember any of the other
ones. But that's what makes it funny. So it has a 3.9 rating
out of
5
on
Google reviews.
Okay, Google reviews.
Yeah.
But
that's the Google reviews, famously the
great movie review site.
So I would like to read to you.
They put that on their posters. Good.
3.5 stars.
My wife loved it. I don't care what they say. Google reviews.
Akira Hudson.
Okay.
Akira Hatson gave it 5 stars.
Oh, this is a good move. I love this.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Granted that I loved the dubbed one more than the original because it was so funny. Some say it's silly, and guys, this is an animation, a way to escape reality. Not everything has to make sense. And some say there's no character growth, but you can see they've changed since the first movie. Mm. I love, love, love this, and it doesn't deserve hate. Ice Age is one of the few things that brings my family and, dare I say, my country together.
Mm.
So much love to this, and good job.
Akira makes me think she's from a post-apocalyptic 80s Japan.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Tokyo 2.
And then Daniel, very, very simple. Daniel Coulter, a year ago, gave it 5 stars and said, in my opinion, this movie is better than the first 4 because it's non-violent.
Mm.
Oh, you, that's good on the Christian thing.
Yeah.
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 And so there are people out
filled.
There.
It's absolutely filled with just like, yeah, you got to get together, you got to get married.
Mm. There's so much, God, so much of that. And it's so gendered.
Yeah.
It's so like...
Manny, like, I know...
Men do this and ladies are like this.
No, we try our best. We try our best in this podcast to watch the films as it was made. So like, it was made in 2016. We got to watch it like a 2016 film and kind of recognize that that's right before the kind of third wave of feminism really kind
fourth,
of...
Fourth, I think.
Fourth wave of feminism really took off. I didn't believe in the second one.
Yeah, it's actually... yeah, Mish, it's actually fourth wave feminism. Let me explain to you.
I only say fourth because we've gotten DMs to that effect.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It is fourth. It was fourth. Yeah, wasn't it? So. Yeah.
Sorry, it was my bad. It was the fourth.
No.
Anyway.
You're supposed to do know these things.
Straight up, Manny is a full sod.
Yeah.
Like such a sod cunt. If he wasn't a big fluffy mammoth, he would like that character is just full sod.
Mm,
yeah.
He's such a cunt. A controlling cunt. He's awful to his wife. It's like, duh, I forgot our anniversary. He's awful to his daughter. He's horrible to his daughter's lovely boyfriend, who is the guy from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah. Adam Devine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not to be confused with Adam Levine.
Workaholics, yeah.
He's horrible to everyone. There is not one person he's ever nice to.
This is a piece of, like... advertising integration for all like sitcoms because you got the Modern Family guy pops in for as a wacky animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cast is stacked. Yeah.
Like, it's too stacked. Way this is too what stacked. I was saying about the funny mammals.
Mm.
Like you need to drop a few on the way.
Mm.
But everyone that is acquired in every single version, like this has it's such a stacked cast.
Mm.
And everyone gets a minute. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It has 50 million characters and no one is slighted.
Yeah.
And it only goes for an hour 40. It should go for an hour 20.
It's important
still.
To note that the guest to my left, Ben Russell, has like 6 pages of notes on this film.
I got notes.
And
I
would love, I'd love you to just read some out.
Yeah, just give us some of your top lines.
They made a Tinder joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I was unsure about the relationship between the daughter and her boyfriend. Like, was he their was he a stepbrother?
No, he was just a boyfriend.
Yeah, at the start. That got clarified because I thought that they were the only mammoths.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just a bit weirded out by that.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe we
I thought that maybe like the writers were, you know, porn addicts or something.
Hey, stepbro.
they just feel that Scrat was the first minion, you could say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was the first minion. We have to give Scrat the Scrat walked so that minions could run. We wouldn't have minions without Scrat.
And that's such
a good
right,
point.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, when we talk about this, this is still with respect to the work that they did and their trailblazers because, you know, minions, everybody loves them.
Yeah.
They're little. They don't really talk. They're little beeps and boops.
Little overalls.
And, you know, everyone can enjoy a minion.
Oh, everyone loves a minion.
And, you know, Scrat's still fun, even though he's in space.
When you say Scrat, are you talking about the rat?
Yeah.
Scrat the rat?
Scrat rat.
Yeah, Scrat the rat.
The acorn guy.
Oh, Scrat the rat.
Squirrel rat.
Scrat the squirrel rat.
Yeah. Mm. So he's in space, and the ship is modified to his sort of physiology.
It works great for his physiology, except here's what's interesting. That ship has a 20th century toilet.
Mm.
It has a 20th century human toilet.
Mm. Mm.
Phenomenal that whatever this ancient alien race, because I love an ancient alien race. It's one of my favorite tropes of the sci-fi genre. The idea that this...
I hate that.
I think it's overused.
I think it's overused, but I love it.
Yeah, that is true.
It's just so nice. The idea that they came before we could meet them is such a cool idea, right? It's always overused in the... It's overused, but it's never done in a substantive good way. Like, it's overused, but I'd still love to see a Rendezvous with Rama film. So,
what the fuck did you just say?
A Rendezvous with Rama film. So
Rendezvous with Rama sounds like in the same kind of vein as like a Ricky Lake. Like
Mish, I don't want you to keep digging because I want the audience to think I read the book, not that I played the video game of it in the 90s.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Which is my knowledge of that book. But I love that, right? But how did this alien race come to the same style of toilet as us? Crazy. Yeah.
That's one for the ages.
Unfathomable.
Debunk that, science.
And there's a lot I'm willing to take, but that is unfathomable.
Yeah, 100%. What else you got?
What else you got?
It's amazing how they... I don't think people, like... It's hard to fathom how long these periods were on Earth. Mm. People think that the dinosaurs is all like, hey, it's like 30 years.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They get a couple of, it's a couple of years, you know, whatever. Mm. Like there's more space, there's more time to us, like, and the Tyrannosaurus, or less time than the Tyrannosaurus to the Stegosaurus.
Yeah.
Like that fucking period of the dinosaurs is a long fucking time here on Earth.
Yeah.
It's so old and it's been around for a time that we as humans find it difficult to sort of imagine.
Mm.
And that yet there's only like two or three stories that they have in this whole franchise. Like it's the same. It's either planet warming or it's like a meteor. And that's the meteor is fucking, we did the meteor.
Yeah.
We fucking did it. That's why it's called Ice Age.
Yeah.
Because the meteor happened. You can't have a meteor in the fucking Ice Age because it just... then we would just, what, more Ice Age cunt? Like, fuck off.
Yeah, no, it's bullshit.
Get fucked.
I will say, I think
that's
I
what pisses me off the most.
I think I mentioned it. This is what pisses me off.
There's more story. Find more stories.
It's totally related to what you've just said.
I
get it.
What?
The thing
I'm locked up!
The thing I hate the most about this franchise is that it started going, this is going to be a somewhat educational film for a three-year-old, right? They were like, this is about where they came. These are the animals. Like the first movie was like, these are the animals. Ooh. And then as it's progressed, they're like, fuck history.
Yeah.
Then they make that. Why the fuck is Neil deGrasse Tyson in it?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing factual about this cunt. What are you doing? What are you doing, deGrasse?
Is it insane? Do you think there's like this is a genuine question, not even silly. Is there like a responsibility to make it like a little bit less pretensies? Is this a bad thing to put into kids' heads that like all it's probably fine.
It's fine, I don't think.
But it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not it takes me out of it, a 33-year-old man.
It takes me out of it. And I think across the board, like it fucking just I don't think the writers like kids or want to have kids. I think they fucking hate kids.
I think what would have been...
they just talk down to them the whole fucking time. Like, they're fucking idiots. They're like, hey, I feed my dog whatever. What do you think? The dog can't fucking taste. It's a stupid dog.
The idea that the writers... It's the same
thing with, like, kids. You know, they don't need sport. They don't need stories.
Just put some flashy things in front of
you. You just tell a story.
Sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying that the concept of the creators of Ice Age fucking hate kids.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I do think, like, it's just occurred to me now that what would have actually been a much more interesting series for kids to watch is if each fucking episode or whatever, each film, was a different age following the animals that was in each of those. Rather than trying to stretch out this Ice Age thing to a point where it's now just some sort of weird manic fantasy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, take us to the Ice Age. Oh, they all died. Let's take us to the dinosaurs. Oh, they're all dead. Sea life that then got, like, you know what I mean? Like, take us through each of them until we're in the roaring 20s or whatever, and everyone's dancing.
Do you know that this is, I'm sorry, this is about Star Trek, Mish. This is about Star Trek, but this is about a series of Star Trek I haven't seen, so I can't comment on. Mm. But the original idea for Discovery, which was the new Star Trek show, it was set, it's set before the original series, yeah? Is that right, Ben? You know Discovery.
Which one?
The season Discovery? One. Yeah, Discovery.
Yeah.
The original idea was that it would be an anthology series. That was the creator's original idea. He's like, we'll tell this story on the Discovery a few years before, and then the next season can be 100 years later, and then the season after that can be 150 years before that, and they just would jump around each season, and then the studio were like, no, we should continue on with characters. It's like people freak out over, like, it's, if it works, they're just like, these are all the things you have to keep.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. It's like with the Star Wars movies, like, that they would tell stories that didn't feature Jedi. Mm. And they're like, so then can we have a samurai with the sword? And it's like, no. This one doesn't have samurai. This one doesn't have Jedi in it. Yeah. And if you can't make that work. Yeah. Like, you just. More notes from Ben.
The movie does tell you like it sort of sets up its promise to you within like the first 10 seconds with the spaceship and everything. It says, we don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fuck you.
We're done.
Yeah. Fuck you and fuck you, little child. we don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That is that vibe.
And then the voice actors do as well. Like, I think this is like a, maybe like a 3-hour session.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A few days. Mm.
I don't even think it's a few days. Not, it's not. It's an hour for Jennifer Lopez.
I was about to say Jennifer Lopez. So
who is Jennifer Lopez?
Diego's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Shira.
Yeah, yeah. Shira or something like that.
The female, the saber-toothed tiger with the eyelashes. But I remember when you first saw
her. The one that you
want
to fuck.
Yeah, you want to fuck that one.
You want to
The first time you see Shira in the film, she's just running. And you go, oh, they didn't get Jennifer Lopez for this film because they were talking about Shira, but Shira didn't say anything. I was like, oh, they couldn't get Jennifer. But then every once in a while in a scene, Shira would just be like, hey, what are you doing? And it is Jennifer Lopez. But they were clearly like, you've got 2 hours. You have 2 hours with Jennifer Lopez. Yeah. Just get what you need.
And I'm pretty sure they, like, patched together, like, old recordings 100%. Of Dennis Leary.
Yes.
Like,
yes, 100%.
From cut,
he's
cut
hard
recordings or something
hey,
like that.
Like, he's like...
Yeah.
This is not like, this is not the Dennis Leary Ice Age
hey,
at all.
I'm Dennis Leary. Hey, watch out, Manny.
It had that vibe for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I will say, I'm not trying to like be a little fence sitter. I ain't bloody Switzerland up this bitch. But I do enjoy Queen Latifah so much.
Yeah. Latifah, Wanda Sykes.
I got on board with Wanda Sykes. At first I was like, well, this is a big like character, but she just, I love Wanda Sykes.
And Leguizamo
does well.
Yeah, he has fun.
Ray Romano does not give a fuck.
Not one
he
fuck.
Is there, and he's pissed off that he's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think Jesse J, who was...
Oh, yep.
She gives so much enthusiasm that it feels out of place.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
In a place where people are, even the people that are giving it like a good go are still, it's still like... I'm a professional.
Jesse J
like
is
a big
an
opportunity.
Character, isn't
it's a big
she?
Opportunity for Jesse J.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity.
But is it because Jesse J has an incredibly successful career? This
but
to
not,
me is
not in this.
Yeah,
it's
this
like,
could be her way to get in to the Lopez.
Yeah, that's
I want to do movies. Like she wants her the cell. You
whereas,
know.
Whereas I reckon so. Sid the Sloth was in this film quite a bit.
Yeah.
Had a good storyline. I reckon. That like what you just said, John Leguizamo had a lot of fun, but I reckon it was like, you've got me for 6 hours, I'll just do the line. I'm going to have fun because I like doing voice work and this makes me a fucking mint.
Adam Devine does a great Jack Black impression.
Yep.
What was that?
Yeah. He's the boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant like he actually, yes, no, that's
I have to say, the more I talk about this, the more impressed I am that they have so many... Like you want a film like this only needs one Sid the Sloth, and it has so many funny characters, and every one of them gets some time. Yeah,
the plot is so meaningless and convoluted mm-hmm. and just moved on through like, we're just doing this. No one asked why or what are we doing.
What I'm saying is this is the Robert Altman of 3D animated films.
In a way, because it's like a sort of study into mundanity and like the nothingness that kind of fills our lives.
This is the Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just this ensemble of funny little animals.
I hate to look over your shoulder, Ben. It's Magnolia. But I do. So I'm looking
over
Ben's
shoulder. You can look at my notes. I don't mind.
The first page, it was like, it's all very intricate notes, like very like well-written, handwritten notes. And then one of them just like, I fucking hate this. But then I've just had a look down and in and amongst all these notes, I just read, I hate the possums.
And I've never... And that's not the first time I wrote down I hate the possums.
This shit is fucked. but no, it's just like one liner. Just one line.
I hate the possums so much.
I do too.
They're the least funniest cunts in the whole
film. You fucking mentioned it in your blurb, mate. It was spot on. They have added too many characters that they have kept.
Yeah, the possums.
They should have gotten rid of some because the possums being there, awful. And it's got the dude from Dude, Where's My Car is one of the voices of them, Sean
William Scott.
That's the one. He's one of the voices and the other.
Oh, yeah, but it's a weird pairing as well.
Really
odd.
Who
plays the other possum? It is funny who plays the other possum. I saw it on Wikipedia the other day and I was like, that's funny. That's just made in a lab.
Yeah.
They've moneyballed this cast.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where the crack in the moneyball has shown.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'd say this movie is just filled with them recapping what
Josh
the plot
Peck.
Is.
Josh Peck.
Yeah.
Oh.
Josh Peck and Sean William Scott.
Oh, fuck.
Why are you putting them together?
No.
What are you doing? Why are they together? Why not like Sean William Scott and Ashton Kutcher? That's fun.
Yeah.
Do a little revival of. Yeah, what purpose do those possums serve?
Nothing.
They're not even like funny. The comedy relief, but you've given us some already. They're not even funny.
Yeah.
They sit in this world between Sid and Scrat.
Mm.
And it's like all they're doing is taking from Sid and taking from Scrat.
Mm.
Yeah.
They try
and fill a thing one, thing two role of being little elves of mischief, but they don't do anything. They just have super weak gags.
Mm.
It is an ensemble film. You know,
I have to say the animation of space was pretty.
Yeah.
They used some lovely colours. I wish it was just an animated film in space.
So just to recap, I think we're going to head. So the meteor is originally caused by Scrat?
Scrat. He's
got a gravity gun.
Yeah.
And he's looking out. He's trying to get his acorn.
He needs his acorn and he's in the he's in the UFO.
Yeah, which is powered by an acorn. He steers it with an acorn.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really an alien, I guess. And
no, Scrat's not an alien. No, Scrat.
Explain why the ship is steered. The key to open the ship is an acorn.
Because the acorn got stuck in the wheel.
But it's shaped exactly like
an
acorn. It's a key.
It's a coincidence.
And why is his space suit perfectly formed to his head?
Ben, I'm all for anyone watching any film interpreting it the way they want and choose. Yeah. But you are fundamentally wrong.
Scrat's an alien.
Scrat is not an alien.
Scrat's an alien being
rat.
Been here the whole long.
So no.
We don't know
what
where
happened.
Scrat's from.
You're wrong.
Ben is we've got a Prometheus or that episode in the last season of Next Generation. Those creatures that come to planets and plant their DNA in order to create humans a billion years from now. Something like that has happened. A weird pasty white creature has come to Earth in their UFO, planted their DNA, and somehow died.
Scrat
and
is
left
an
there.
Alien.
The it's truth the
wrong.
Thing.
You're
it's
wrong.
Like the
you're
thing.
Wrong.
You know the thing. It's frozen in ice. Remember that. You know the
Scrat's
thing.
Scrat's a shapeshifter. Then is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm
that's
saying
not what happened.
Is
that isn't what happened.
All right,
they showed us what happened. Ben,
here's my theory. Ben, here's my theory. Yeah, we need to explain what happened, and then I'll give you my theory. Mish, you explain what happened to Ben.
Okay, so there was the acorn. He was following it around in the ice.
Yeah. As Scrat is wont to do.
Scrat has been doing this now.
For years.
But like at this point,
for nearly
2 decades.
This is his second decade of looking for the acorn.
Yeah, okay. And he's running around and then he falls through an ice, like some
crevasse.
Ice. And then he falls again and he falls again. And then all of a sudden he's in this weird thing. And he's like, where's my acorn?
Shaped and has a seat in perfect proportion to Scrat.
Yes, but that's just coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidence.
Scrat doesn't need a human. Scrat doesn't need 20th century human plumbing, but they've got that.
Scrat needs to piss.
Yeah, but he doesn't need a toilet like that.
He's also
a rat.
They just
for a human
piss where
bottom.
They want to piss.
That's a laugh.
I believe this is my theory. I believe it's the thing. Remember in The Thing, you know, how they have there's a flying saucer frozen in ice?
Yeah, no, that doesn't
think it's a shapeshifter, and here's why I believe it's a shapeshifter. I think the shapeshifter has shapeshifter technology, and its spacesuits will adapt to whatever shape it's in.
Okay.
That's why there was a spacesuit for the acorn, a spacesuit for the scrat.
Okay.
That's what I believe happened.
If Scrat was a fucking alien, why was he so shocked when he ended up in the... We got into the...
Maybe he wasn't. We don't know his culture.
He didn't know what the button
He's an alien. We don't know what his expression is.
But he's not an alien.
That's like trying to look at your dog and be like, he loves me. You don't know that. This dog could hate you.
If he was an alien, the desk would have been smaller.
You're anthropomorphizing.
He had to run around. He had to run around to press the buttons.
No, in fairness, that's just for space. Because if you're like in that area for a very small amount of time, it would really suck to be stuck in a very small space.
Yeah, exactly. So
he just built it with a bit of space. But he's not an alien.
Desk.
He's not.
You need to be able to reach. And his desk should have been his arm length.
Mm.
If it was designed for him, he would have had...
Or with a wheelie chair.
Yeah. No.
So to do a quick recap, because the movie has maybe like 7 or 8 different times where they recap what they're doing because it still makes no sense.
Mm.
So... Scrat makes the meteor.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Manny is upset because his daughter is loving someone else, not him, because he has fucked up, like,
daddy issues
and is a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. That plot, I can't.
Fucking who gives a shit.
You know, like, those daddy-daughter dates?
He's also, Queen Latifah and her anniversary is coming up and he doesn't remember.
Mm.
Okay.
Also, like, that's fine, man. Just say, I'm so sorry, I forgot. I'll get you something tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many things wrong with
mammoth. Also, I'm a mammoth. It's going to be another 10, 20, 50,000 years before anyone discovers the cycles of the year. Before someone's going to look at the different equinoxes and go, oh, I think this is a cyclical thing.
Mm. That's a very...
How are they familiar with anniversaries? I'm okay with them having marriage.
Yeah.
But anniversaries?
Well, I'm sorry.
So you're okay.
Queen Latifah made a veil out of flowers.
You're okay, getting married.
I'm okay with animals getting married. They have language. And I can see how perhaps a tradition similar to marriage, that when we're translating whatever their language is into English for the film, we use the word marriage. I can understand that. I struggle to see... how they understand the cycle of a year.
That's all well and good, Zach.
They know about space.
But they also know about fireworks. Exactly. So they must have gunpowder.
So they've got gunpowder? They know about space. Are we like fully comprehending here? In earlier films, they were talking about the continental drift. The indication is they've not been able to travel that far. That they've clearly only ever existed within a continent.
Mm.
But for them to know that the sky is not just the sky, but it's space, indicates they know they live on a globe, Earth.
Mm.
So they've somehow figured out, like the ancient Greeks perhaps, who did it using sticks and sunlight at the same time. They've somehow figured out the curvature of the Earth and then hypothesized that globe Earth is floating in sort of an ether.
Mm-hmm.
They've figured out this concept of space and that this rock is coming to them. Is not just a rock falling from the sky. Some of them think that, but others are really cognizant to the fact that this is an asteroid. They call it that. They go, this is an object that flies through space and occasionally hits our globe Earth. The level of comprehension there is wild.
They also have history, so because they knew that that's what happened to the dinosaurs.
They have history. They have written history.
I hear
they had also found the Chubluxal. That big fucking fucker that crashed into the Gulf of Mexico that killed the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we weren't sure and solid on that hypothesis until the 1980s.
Mm.
That's when we landed on an asteroid.
Yeah.
They knew that.
Yeah.
They knew that.
Yeah.
The level of history, of science, of culture that this film is implying has been lost and then rediscovered by humans.
Well,
would it
surprise you to know that we only have a fraction of our recorded history, because it only sort of started getting recorded, quite late in the process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is, but they had recorded history. Mm.
Lads.
Their grasp of electromagnetism is on par.
So what, so meanwhile, so they go, a meteor is coming, pirate daddy,
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
He goes, I know how to fix it, cunts. Come with me. And they all just go, okay, let's go with him.
Because I might have gotten this wrong, but because he lives underground with some dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And he was having a shower and there was a couple of like triceratops down there.
Yeah, something like that.
That was from the last one, wasn't it?
Mm,
no.
The one before that.
We established an underground world.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay. So he's still down there having a lovely shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they go across. Then all of a sudden these like dinosaur birds pop out and go, look at those guys. They are off to stop the meteor. We're going to stop them from stopping the meteor so that everyone will die and we'll live in paradise. So that's the villain's quote unquote motivation for stopping them is just look at them. Let's go stop them from stopping the asteroid.
When you look at them as the villains, it's a very flawed sort of drive. When you look at them as morally complex Robert Altman style characters in an ensemble, they're a little more interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Scrat uses the graviton beam to pull the moon across, which would cause devastation to the planet.
Oh, absolutely.
It would just rip it up to shreds.
Yeah.
And also gas from Jupiter to be cast down. We're talking millions of light years.
Yes.
Or maybe not millions. Is it millions? It's a long time.
Where Jupiter and
I find it very difficult to comprehend how
minutes,
how
like
long
minutes.
It is.
It's 20 minutes. Oh, is it from Jupiter to here?
Yeah.
It's I think about 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Maybe more. No, more than that.
So that
maybe
goes
hours. That, light hours.
So that goes the speed of light into the planet Earth.
Faster than the speed of light. You're absolutely right. He breaks relativity.
Yeah, then
Scrat has broken relativity at this point.
Which so Jupiter, very dense gas planet, comes down. All it does is create an electrical storm, magnets. It doesn't suffocate them. Mm-hmm. They don't die. It doesn't melt everything.
Is that what the electrical storm was?
Yeah, it was gas from Jupiter.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, the Scrat having an impact really.
Yeah.
Scrat used to just do his own thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
But now Scrat is having a fundamental
change on everything.
Well, I don't think that the creators of Ice Age had this journey planned for Scrat. I think the first film.
Scrat. This is like. No. This is like The Matrix. They had it planned out from day one.
I think so.
This is Star Wars. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, I see.
This is like Stranger Things. It was supposed to go for this long.
Okay.
Yeah, they knew it.
Because I watched the first one. I go, I don't think that they knew that this was going to be.
But, Mish, what's he chasing in this film?
What?
What's he chasing in this film that leads him onto the spaceship?
An acorn.
Yeah. What's he chasing in the first film?
An acorn.
An acorn.
An acorn, Mish. They knew where this was going.
Yeah, maybe.
Why would they have him chasing an acorn
but
in the first film?
I just feel like, you know, you get yourself in a writer's room for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Part
mm-hmm.
of the reason is to make sure that from start to finish it's cohesive, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. makes sense, that we follow a good trajectory. It feels very much like this film had no interest in that. It was just like, how do we get this? Just do this.
Do you want to hear
there
my
is
theory?
One funny character in the whole film.
Ooh, I wanna hear.
Yeah, I want to hear this
It's
as
the
well.
Little mole.
Which one's the mole?
The little mole that the old lady does as an inhaler, and then the little mole at the end that marries the couple.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
very little
cute.
Mole
yeah.
is very fun.
And the little mole was also in the mariachi band.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the mariachi band.
I love
band.
The little
that
mole.
That was fun. Do you want to hear my theory about the writer's room of this film?
Yes.
I think that the writer's... This film goes for an hour and 39 minutes. I think that the writer's room for this film went for an hour and 39 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, there is no time... Yeah. There is no time to say...
Tina, can you please type up what I dictated to you? We need that by tomorrow because...
That's a script.
Ray Romano's coming in for his 3-hour session.
This movie was written in an hour and 39 minutes.
Without a
doubt. It was dictated in...
It was dictated in less time
the
than the run
to time. It up.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, it was crazy.
this movie doesn't do very... It's not a good, you know, it's not good for the writers' union to have this movie around. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
Really? Can you do that? I mean, I'm pretty sure we could do that with AI. Don't worry, we'll just let the AI do this from now on.
It feels, oh, that's good.
One of the few times AI could have done it better.
I will say this, though. This is the last full-length film that we've got of Ice Age. So we got through this five. We're not done.
You've done so many notes.
So many fucking notes,
And then this is it. So you don't forget, we have a big emotional arc. We tune back into the emotional arc of the movie after this.
Mm.
Okay? With the mammoths and Ray Romano being a fucking toxic cunt.
Yeah, weird sodge cunt.
Oh, man.
What a weird relationship to have with your daughter. You mentioned before about these little things you see on like TikTok and shit of like daddy-daughter dates. I'm all for not judging. Like, no, do what you got to do. That's fuck. That is weird. That is weird.
Just take
to
your
me.
Daughter to the movies, yeah. man.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Don't call it a date.
Your daughter is a person and she is like all of us going to get older.
Yeah.
Just take her to the movies.
Yeah.
Don't call it a date.
If you don't think that you can let go of your child to adulthood, then don't have children.
Mm.
Because part of it is raising them into adulthood.
Well, this is a human thing, though. Is that true of mammoths?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Everything else that we seem to do is true of mammoths in Ice Age.
Mammoths, if you think about the
they have anniversaries, for God's sake.
Elephants can born. They're born and they can walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey, I got one.
Yeah, man.
If I would have taken my note, I didn't take any notes because I knew it would be as long as yours. But if I were to have, I would have taken one note.
Yeah.
Because every note I would have taken would have been an issue with, like, the timeline of it.
Mm.
You know, like I've said, they understand electromagnetism. They make a reference to Socrates, I think, at one point, or like ancient Greek philosopher. Like, I don't know how they did that, a senate.
It hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, and it's one thing, I think, to do a reference to a contemporary film or a contemporary, you know, sure, why not? Neil deGrasse Tyson as a squirrel rat thing.
We go inside the head of Simon Pegg.
We go inside the head of Simon Pegg.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson is there talking to...
Which is funny, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, sure.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'll take
that because it's contemporary. The idea that they know about ancient Greece, that's crazy. But that's not my number one issue.
Uh-huh.
My number one issue is they say hashtag something.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you have this as a note, Ben?
No, I'd say there's Tinder jokes and social media jokes all throughout.
So, and that's fine, right? That's fine. But they say hashtag blessed or hashtag something. And then they go, and this is where my beef is. They go, what's a hashtag? And they're like, I don't know. Sounds fun, though. They go.
Is a hashtag fun?
Well, that's a great question. But in this movie with mammals from the old times that are aware of our history, that have their own history, they know about dinosaurs even though we didn't discover them until the 1800s. Mm-hmm. All of that, everything, there's no rules in this universe. Suddenly, someone, somewhere along the writing process said, is it weird that they know about hashtags?
Yeah.
Do we need to make an excuse for the fact that they know about hashtags and they make a joke about, they've talked about Tinder.
Whoever said that in whatever space they were in when contemplating this script got fired. Because whoever created Ice Edge is like, fucking, you don't get it.
But no, they fucking put in a thing. They said, what's a hashtag?
We are
getting
a little bit ahead because I believe after the emotional arc, we go into the magnetic crystals.
Yeah, if you want to cover the magnetic crystals,
you're
man.
Welcome.
So
yeah,
we
you're
take a pit to. Stop as if it's not like just have no direction whatsoever. We go to the magnetic crystal cave.
Which is a different underground cave?
Yeah, different underground cave.
Because as I was watching,
with
I was
different
like,
cuddly character creatures.
Why is there crystals in the underground cave now? Yeah. But it's a different underground
cave. It's a different underground cave. And we meet a love interest for Sid finally because we all have to end up with someone. Otherwise, you're a fucking failure.
And it's Jesse J.
It's Jesse J. Now, the crystals are magnetic, but they also keep you young.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment the crystal...
Who's the funny llama? Who plays
the guy from Modern Family.
Oh, is that guy?
Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
So the crystal... And then when the cave roof is knocked down, they go old again. So, surprise, there's a little twist. The person that Sid was falling in love with, Brooke, played by Jesse J, she turns old. And then says, no, we can't be together because she's too old.
But can I just say, though, they all go old, but all of them go, all of them go real haggardy old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She is such a put-together old. She looks like Helen Mirren or Keanu Reeves' current GF. She looks great.
Keanu Reeves has a current hottie old GF.
Yeah, and everyone was like clapping for him just because she's grey, and he would be grey if he didn't dye his hair. And everyone was like, good for you. It was like, you just dating a person. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But she just looks like a really, like
yeah, Manny, like the concept that Keanu Reeves is a fucking hero for dating someone his age or about 5 years older.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Good for you, man. But
more than that, like, what that's so insulting to this lady that's just gone to a premiere. Like, that is the most insulting. But this Jessie J sloth, right, she looks so good. She just has grey hair, but it just looks like she could be in her late 30s and has gone grey.
They're a fetching couple.
Yeah, they're a fetching couple. This is what I'm evoking here when I talk about Sid the Sloth's girl.
Yeah.
He'd be, what, this
he'd be the same age.
He'd be the same age.
Yeah.
He just is a youthful sloth.
That's right.
Like, and there's not, he's of a, he'd be in his 30s.
Oh, easy.
And if she's in her 40s, 50s, she's looking good for her age. She's been young for a long time. She's clearly fit. She's
got the voice of Jessie J. If you love something, you know, just go for it. You know, it's fine.
They're both old enough.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. But I think they made that choice. They should have made her look a little more haggardy.
But because she was too old, she was like, no, we can't be together anymore. Yeah. And then they go, oh, look at these magnets. Let's put them into the volcano.
Yeah.
Because that'll fix it. And they put them all into the volcano, and the asteroid comes in and then slowly moves away because of the asteroid. Which because is the magnetic crystals in the volcano, which then the volcano erupts and turns the crystals into gas, which then gets inhaled by the old people, and they all turn young and fuckable again. And we want to fuck them again. And so they're allowed to be happy, and they're allowed to, and Sid is allowed to be with Brooke because she is now fuckable.
Because she looks young.
Yeah. Because you want to fuck her.
It's the old Twilight.
It was very 100%. We know for a fact that from the start of this franchise, it was important to the creators of Ice Age to make, in particular, the female characters fuckable.
Yeah,
yeah. And
I mean, they've dropped sloth titties. They did get rid of sloth.
No, they've
titties.
Gotten a little more nuanced in how to make the animals fuckable. I really felt that looking at J-Lo,
the Sabretooth. Yeah. Mm.
Because I was like,
she's still fuckable.
She
but
doesn't
why?
Have like saber-tooth breasts like the sloths of the first film does.
Yeah.
She's fuckable because of a sleekness. Mm. She's the sleek, fuckable cat.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that. I think a lot of that is we've come a long way, and, you know, the furries have helped us a lot with that.
Yeah. And thank you to the furries. If we have any furry listeners, thank you for that.
Thank you. You've shown us how a cat can be fuckable without having
titties.
And then we're getting towards the end. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Can I say one thing?
Because I've still got
right?
lots of, got
I
lot
just
of
have one thought. Yeah. Is that when an asteroid comes to the Earth. Even if it doesn't hit the ground,
it'll be catastrophic.
Like, it still fucks up the atmosphere.
Absolutely fuck it.
It's so hot.
Anything
so
that
hot.
Big, you got to think about it's going to influence the Earth in some way. Moving the moon is going to influence the Earth in such a huge way.
Like, I just
putting
feel like
Jupiter's gases is going to influence the Earth in a long term effect. Mm. You can't have big things like that.
Oh, it would completely fuck us up.
And like, that circle, that spot in Jupiter, which he took the smoke, that's like the size of like thousands of Earths.
Yeah.
Crazy. Mm. I just don't think they thought it through.
No, they didn't.
Did they know?
They didn't think it through at all. Yeah. And it was disappointing to see.
So they got that. They're taking the crystal, magnetic crystals to the volcano.
It was.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's only because, like, I remember in our journey so far in watching this franchise, I remember when they were like, we've got to, you know, move from this one spot to the next spot, and they end up walking through Dublin and through Madrid, and like, that doesn't make sense, and it's not possible that they could have just walked, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, I can accept that. I can accept that for a little bit of fun, they've put in some historical inaccuracies. At this point, they are taking the fucking piss.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, they don't give a fuck anymore about what this is about. It is literally about, let's just make as much money as we possibly can. It's taken the piss, man.
They should.
Like, there was just no, like, the way Saturn was created. Did you see that?
The rings were just there.
They were just there, just randomly. And then
the ball plumped in.
Then he accidentally, in his little spaceship, knocks a planet that then plumps in and then doesn't move from between.
Yeah, so that's not how those rings were formed.
It's not how they were fucking formed.
Now, I'm fully prepared that when people smarter than us, I'm fully prepared when people smarter than us come up with a quantum theory for gravity that perhaps our image of how those rings were formed will evolve.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it plonked in from above.
No. Yeah. Because it got hit by a fucking squirrel.
That those rings were just there a planet plonked in.
I don't remember how they were. I believe it's from moons that have been torn apart by
similar to a moon is my understanding. Yeah,
some objects that were caught in Saturn's rotation.
Yeah.
That were just pulled apart by the sheer mass of that gas giant.
Yeah. Mm. I highly doubt there were some rings floating there.
Highly doubt.
And a planet that fits perfectly plonked in from above.
Yeah.
There isn't an above in space.
No, exactly.
It's a crock of shit.
It's different planes that you're operating in.
What were they spinning around?
Yeah.
What happens next?
They have a wedding ending. They have like two endings. Both of them.
Very Shakespeare.
Every time.
So endingy. There's lots of endings.
Yeah. Every time you think, oh, this is the most hack thing I've ever seen, like, way to end anything, they up it with another, like,
hack shit.
No, it hasn't ended yet. Yeah. Here's a pop song. No, wait a second. We've got a little rap in there.
Little rap.
We got a little rap segment. Oh, no, wait a second. And then DeGrasse Tyson keeps coming back, saying nothing.
I feel like you really hate Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I think it's. I should say.
You seem to have a lot of beef with Neil deGrasse
Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I think
you
it's
son of a bitch.
Squirrel deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, it is.
Which was ruined for me by the subtitles.
Mm.
I'll say
because
I had the subtitles on and it started as just a narration.
Yeah,
and it had Squirrel deGrasse, and I was like, maybe I would have loved this joke if it had been a reveal.
Yeah, but Manny all their arcs though. Manny just likes the son, likes the dude now. He just all of a sudden likes it. And then all of a sudden Jennifer Lopez and Dennis Leary like children and go, let's have kids of our own. And then all of a sudden Jessie J's back and she's young and they're like, now we can be together after I left and said we can't be together.
Yeah, like that could have ended on a bittersweet note.
Yeah.
We could have done a Love Actually and had enough happies that he had to break up with Jessie J, but nah.
No, we're going to make it work.
I am.
What a lovely. Like, however, if this wasn't animated and it was like real people in costumes or something, John Leguizamo and Jessie J is a fascinating pair up.
Mm.
Yeah, I do like that.
There's something about it that's kind of tasty.
There's got a bit of spark for that.
Yeah, like Dennis Leary and Jennifer Lopez makes me ill, makes me physically unwell.
You cooked that up.
They've never met anyway.
Oh, it hurts me in my soul. Ray Romano and Queen Latifah. I don't like that either.
He's dragging her down.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. But Jessie J and fucking John Leguizamo, there's something in that. There's something.
There's got a bit of ooh la la there that I don't mind. Yeah, yeah. No, you're not wrong.
I know. thank you.
The moral of the story is...
there isn't.
What's the point this movie is making? We are doomed to repeat ourselves.
Yeah.
Manny will be...
What's the sad pedestrian moral that they're dragging across?
Don't forget an anniversary.
Yep. Always get married. Women
and men are different.
Yep.
That is a theme of this film, and it's awful, isn't it? Like, it's just... The way that was done... That's what I mean by, like, Manny is a full sodge. Like, one of the worst blokes in cinematic
history.
He's
also a man of an age.
Genuinely, one of the worst blokes in cinematic history. And the expectation in this franchise that we follow and love him is insane.
Mm.
He's honestly one of the morally most insensitive fucking cunts in cinematic history.
Do you know what I think?
I stand by that. Yeah. I would write a thesis on that.
He's not as bad as Taxi Driver.
Huh?
He's not as bad as like the character from Taxi Driver.
He's a fucking cunt, man.
If a taxi driver, like, shoots a guy.
Travis Bickle?
Yeah, Travis Bickle. He, like, kills a guy.
All right, he's up there. Like, okay, I'm saying he's... I didn't say he's the worst.
What about the Joker?
Like, yeah.
No, the Joker's, like, comes from, like, a bad past.
Well, Manny comes from a bad past.
No, he doesn't.
His whole family were murdered by
Satan. Oh, wait, yeah, no, they were murdered.
Yeah.
All right, I do forget that. I do forget about
it. I'm just saying this, like, what about American Psycho?
All right, I understand.
Drugs will make you happy.
What's the drugs?
The dust, the magnet dust. They all snort and get happy and young.
Yeah. Yeah, look, drugs are tough. Good.
It's only worth being in a relationship with someone physically attractive. Yeah. Like,
And even if they're physically attractive, if they've got grey hair. Like, I got to say, of all the mammals, like, I know we were going for the sleek tiger lady, J-Lo. Mm. Jessie J, even when she's old, was still probably, like, the
You'd fuck her still?
Like, I wouldn't, but if I
marry her.
If I had to fuck one of them.
Fuck, marry, kill.
I would fuck Jessie J, squirrel. What are they? Sloth. I think she's, like, she's marry got a good her vibe.
And
she's,
I'd fuck young grandma.
Young grandma?
Yeah.
As in Wanda Sykes. Yeah.
And then I'd kill Manny.
Yeah.
I'd kill Manny.
Yeah.
I would fuck Jessie J's sloth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any age.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, she got it going. Yeah.
I would marry Queen Latifah. She'll
teach you something, you know what I mean?
I would marry Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
I'd marry that mammoth.
Okay.
And I'd kill Manny.
Yeah.
Because I'm human and I feel things and I hate him.
Blue Sky, this is their last one before... So Blue Sky was Fox's Pixar.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And they did do some good films.
What did they do?
Ice Age Collision Course?
No, they've done all right ones.
Like what?
I did know, but now you're putting them on the spot. Now I don't know.
Mm. Well, yeah, fair.
I have a final thought about this film.
They did Spies in Disguise.
I didn't see
I've never seen that.
Spies in Disguise.
I've
not seen that one, Ben.
They did Roberts.
Not seen that, Ben.
Horton Hears a Who.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen Rio.
Rio 2. The Peanuts movie.
Who said penis?
The penis movie. Ferdinand.
Oh, I loved Ferdinand. No, I didn't. I thought, sorry, I got Ferdinand confused with something else.
But, they were like Fox's Pixar. And then when Fox got bought out by Disney...
Mm-hmm.
How funny was it when
Blue Sky? I think more or less, or at least started to. It doesn't exist anymore. And now, Disney is trying to reboot the Ice or continue the Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
But the last movie was criticized for not having Scrat.
Ah, the TV show they did.
It was the Weasel spin-off.
Yeah, and no Legs was Armo. Which made me happy.
Because we'd have to watch it.
When I saw, there was a moment there where I was like, as a fan of John Leguizamo, I'm sorry that cash cow has run its course for him.
Mm-hmm.
As a person doing this podcast, I was like, thank
fuck
Christ.
Yeah. I reckon we should get onto the game next. That's my final thought on this. I'm done with these films.
Yeah, you want to play the game?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I have to now.
Yeah, you do.
I really can't just stop.
We can.
No.
We could stop.
I'm not a quitter.
No, Ben, silly.
Here's my final
It's a war
thoughts.
Of attrition.
It is.
Yeah, what's your final thought?
You got to get through it.
This was one, and I say this genuinely, this is one of my least favorite movies of all time.
Oh, well, you got to
come on. I can't remember the last movie that I hated this much.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
it was a joyless, at times tedious and painful affair.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And I disagree with pretty much everything that it does.
I
just want to... It's a good example of kind of how not to write a story and not to talk down to kids. Mm. Because even though you're a kid, you still know what a fucking good story is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm. Don't treat kids like they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Some, like, I mean, they are
dumb.
But
also treat them a little bit like they're idiots. Like, you don't need to talk about, like, marriage problems.
No.
That's where I go, there's a balance.
Yeah. I think that what I've gotten out of this episode... Because I feel like after the second one, everything was a bit washy. Mm. What I got out of this was something Ben said to me, and I'll never forget it. It's that the creators of this film hate children.
I reckon you'll forget that.
No, I won't. I think I will go into this now always. I truly believe that.
I don't think you even remember the earthquake toilet event.
What's this?
You have.
I know I haven't. I was on the toilet for the earthquake. Oh, you remembered this?
Yeah, I know, because you said you'd never forget it.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Whenever we talk about that, the first earthquake, I was sitting in my lounge room. The second earthquake, the one that happened not long ago in Melbourne, Australia,
hashtag
I was on the toilet.
Melbourne earthquake.
I thought it was a
and
bomb.
I did it my first tweet in about a year, because I don't tweet ever.
I thought it was a bomb.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I thought it was an explosion.
Wow, that's cool, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy stuff.
That's wild.
Here's my thoughts, final thoughts. I can't remember. I've spent the entire podcast trying to remember what film it is, but I watched a sequel. Oh, I've been watching horror sequels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Horror sequels often are really good.
Yeah, I agree.
At the lead female so evolving.
Mm. Are you a horror film fan?
I do love horror films, but so it's something I watch when I don't want to watch anything. But if a new horror film comes out, I might not, you know, I don't rush to see them. I don't see them in the movies really often.
I know what you mean.
But I absolutely love them.
I love that, Ben.
I love horror movies. But horror movies, the way they'll go, the journey of the Scream Queen.
Sorry?
Have you seen the new Hellraiser? I haven't seen the new Hellraiser.
I haven't seen any Hellraiser. I'm waiting for... Is it good?
I kind of liked it.
I love the whole
I might possibly be having an operation in a few months, and I'm saving those movies for my recovery.
Oh, right.
The original Hellraisers are a bit of fun.
Love that.
First two are really worth your time. Yeah. The second one is not good, but it has great ideas.
It really goes downhill.
But it tries.
I kind of stopped watching it.
I really want to watch this one that's like Hellraiser Matrix.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like Hellraiser in a video game or something, which I'm definitely going to watch. But no, this is the thing that they have a good horror series. The Scream Queen evolves. Mm. She goes from, you know, someone
victim to
often like there's strength, but also there's versions of the story where they're dealing with the trauma. Like Scream did it really well with Neve Campbell, and Halloween did it really well. There's a few examples of. And this is an example of what not to do with sequels. Mm. Manny could have had a new...
It was the reset button. We talked about this in the previous ones.
Absolutely.
They pressed the reset button on all the characters, pretty much.
And I just, you know, now... That was why I thought of the horror movies, is that's an example of how to do it well.
Mm.
Just have Manny become like a cool guy and have Sid the Sloth go on
and
a
the
journey.
Squirrels have gone and done their own thing. They're not in this one.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to be there.
And then maybe Manny's thing is he's so right on by this film that he's a little too right on. Mm. And it's like, hey, maybe, you know, maybe that could have been the plot. He's so ready for his daughter to go off and live with this guy. And then Queen Latifah's like, hey, maybe she's not ready.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that because I'm so right on now. Mm. What an interesting plot that would have been. But no, just reset, redo.
Yeah, cynical.
I give it 5 Lego Starbursts.
It's cynical and lazy. I give it 0 Lego Starbursts.
No, Lego Starbursts, man, not stars. I don't give it 5. I was joking. I give it 3.
That's how many I give it 2.
Yeah.
It's 3.
You give it 3.
Actually, no, I'm going 2.5. 2.5 Lego Starbursts. It's based on how Lego Starbursty it is.
Oh, okay.
It's 2.5 Lego Starbursts because I do think that he went in, he did a full half day, maybe even a full day, and just had fun. I think he enjoys doing it. It makes him a mint.
And
every film you can see that Sid the Sloth is one of the reasons why people keep fucking watching this franchise.
I give it 2 Lego Starmers.
Yeah, great.
Because I believe this, like he was in for 3 hours and this is the least he's given a shit.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm having a bit of fun. I like voice work. I'm currently working on what project was he doing in 2016?
I don't know, but this is his like mortgage. He lives in like a brownstone townhouse now. Like this is
with the
this,
sickest office you've ever
this
seen.
This paid probably for the 3-story brownstone townhouse.
Where does he live?
New York,
yeah.
Like, and we don't know that because we're freaks. We know that because we've watched everything he's in.
And, yeah. he did a tour of his
Oh, that's nice.
And his office is like when you go into those brownstones and then you go down a level. So it's half basement, so you get half windows out onto the street and it's just coated in just like...
Sick.
He's such an artist. Like, he's such a writer artist. There's like...
Ice Age paid for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I love a beautiful, like a rich person's studio.
Yeah,
that's so what nice. This is.
I would give the film 1 star, right? 1.5 stars because he's been so sidelined by all the funny mammals.
Yeah.
Wanda Sykes has sidelined him. The little possums have sidelined him. So I'd give it 1.5 for that. But then I'd give it an extra 1.5 points because I think it paid for the brownstone.
Mm.
Yeah. I hear that.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ben Russell's. Instagram, I'm Ben Russell.
Oh, good.
And
plug your impro show.
Teaching your dog to read at the last Monday of every month. When's this coming out?
3 weeks. So you probably have one coming.
July 31st. Get in there. Also, I'm going to be releasing a podcast of my own.
What?
Called Ben Russell is Covered in Fluff. It's going to be a podcast about nothing for no one.
Good. Oh, that's great.
Check it out if you want to, but if you don't.
When's
you know
that
what?
Starting up?
It's fine. I'm just getting like four in the can at the moment.
That's fantastic.
And then doing it. It's just like a variety show. I do all sorts of things. I play my little musics over it. There's a little backing things, and there's like maybe a little sketch in, or two in there sometimes. It's basically whatever I want.
That's fine. Right. I love that.
That's what you got to do. Mish, you got anything to promote?
Nothing at all.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. All right, thanks so much, everybody. Tom, take us away with some rock and roll.
Rock and
bye,
roll. Rock and roll. It's a...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.